I want to talk to you about the baby king. The baby king. How many know he's a king? How many know he's a really little baby too? He was God in flesh. I want to take you to Luke chapter 1. And verses 31 to 33. I'm going to ask all of you to read this scripture with me. This is the angel appearing to Mary, and this is what the angel tells her in verse 31 to 33. And here's what he says, and everyone together says, "You will conceive, and you are to give." Yes, he will be great. That was pretty good. But I'm going to have you read the whole passage again. I think you can read with a little more enthusiasm, a little more character in your voice. I'm letting you do it. This is the Word of God. You can even act like you're the angel this morning. If it helps you to get up, and you will conceive if you need wings, you know. Whatever helps you, you know, to be dramatic. But this is powerful because I'm going to come back to this at the very end, but I want you to read it again. And I really want you to not only speak it, but think about this really happened. When the angel appeared and said in verse 31, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. And Lord, it brings enthusiasm because, God, your kingdom will never end. And God, help us with your word today. Let it be active within us, we pray. Amen. In the scripture, it's amazing that we hear the announcement of the birth of a baby. Isn't that kind of cool? You're going to bear a son. How many ladies in here remember when you were able to tell that announcement for the first time, maybe to your spouse, maybe it was to your mom or dad, but it was like, "I'm going to have a baby." How many of you ladies remember that? How many of you guys remember when you first heard that announcement? How many of you were like, "Yes, yeah, yeah"? I don't know that Mary quite responded that way, but you know, there's a place where the announcements are wonderful. But in the same breath, there's another statement that's made that is so important. We hear also about a kingdom, a baby, and a kingdom. A baby king, a kingdom that will never end. Really? How many of you have wanted your kids to be president? I want your kid to be president. I think they ought to grow up in church and go for presidency. I think we need to aspire to those things. We're not weak people. Meek, but not weak. Today, in our culture, and plus in Christianity for sure, we understand and know that there is a kingdom that's going to be set up, a physical kingdom, at Jesus' second coming. But it wasn't at his first coming. Jesus' first visit as a baby indeed did spark a kingdom, though, a spiritual kingdom. In the near future, there's going to be a physical kingdom established by Jesus Christ when he comes again. The stuff we hear about, the rapture, end times, millennial reign, eternity, all throughout the Bible they are spoken of, but even in this passage that we just read, they're spoken of. It's even at the manger, there's a baby king. The proclamation of the wise men, we hear a little bit of it. Where is he who is born king of the Jews? The prophecies of the coming Messiah brought to the nation of Israel, to their thinking that, hey, we're going to have a king. This all started back in Genesis 3:15 to Adam and Eve when they first heard of a deliverer who is coming. The hearts of men have been looking for a promised one for a long time. Many are still looking. In fact, I think that's why we have so many different religions, because people, they're not quite satisfied. The problem is people are looking for what they want. In fact, we need to be careful. The Bible says in the last days that even the teaching from the church will just be to itch the ears or scratch the ears of those who are just itching for what they want to hear. Church, you need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, Israel didn't really receive what they were looking for. It wasn't what they were looking for in a newborn king. He was born during a time when the Jews were anticipating someone that would come and deliver them from Roman oppression. They expected one to come and who would reign in Jerusalem and establish his kingdom on earth. But our Savior did not come as they thought he would. He didn't come what they thought was a mighty king. He came as an innocent baby boy. He came, he was born in a manger in Bethlehem. But he came to die for us. He died so that we could be forgiven of our sins and that we might get to go to heaven to be with him. And he did make a way for us to live eternally. Many misunderstood why Jesus came the first time, why he came in a lowly manger. But let me assure you, he is a baby king. Revelation 19:16 tells us this. Pastor Scott, help me out here.
On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
He is King of Kings, church. There is no question that he is king. And we find that that will happen and will be accomplished. But although he did not come to set up that physical kingdom the first time he came, he will come again and do that, but his first visit was to establish a spiritual kingdom in your heart and in my heart. His first coming happened so that he could provide a way for us to be reconciled first. That if anyone would believe in him, if anyone would receive him, they would be reconciled so they could be a part of the kingdom. And praise God, he did make a way. This morning, though, let me take you back to kind of look at what Israel was looking for. The nation of Israel was looking for this Messiah, with the hopes, the expectations of a deliverer. And they knew the Old Testament prophecies that were given, and this is what they were looking for. Let's look at a few of the things they were looking for. They wanted one who was going to restore the kingdom of David. David was the shepherd boy who ruled over Israel after Saul. And God established his throne. It was because of David that God began to bless. But it was through David's line that this Messiah would come. And God promised David, in fact, in 2 Samuel 7:16, here's what we're told.
Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever.
So here is a prophetic statement to David that says that your house and your kingdom, well, we know through history that obviously that kingdom didn't stand. In fact, his own son tried to take it from him at one point, and all kinds of things happened. But God said it will be established forever. And he will, because he's a king. But he wanted to do something spiritual. Isaiah helps us out and gives us some other prophecies in regards to this in chapter 11. Tammy?
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give the decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist.
Prophetic scripture referring to who Jesus is. And even sometimes we miss the judgment that's in there. With the breath of his lips, he'll slay the wicked. These are scriptures saying, though, he is coming. And this is what Israel was reading, and this is what they were expecting and seeing, because they saw it for them, and it was for them. Isaiah goes on, though, in chapter 9, or earlier in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, he tells us this passage.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
So you can see why Israel was looking for this Messiah who's going to come and establish his government. He's going to set up a kingdom. But one of the things they didn't understand was their own hearts. In fact, in the new year, I'm going to begin a series in Exodus. This morning I was sitting here and I just had to step out because some thoughts were running through my head. And as I was thinking about it, because I'm going to start this series. Church, I want us to understand that God has called us for a purpose and he's calling us somewhere. But he has to call us from. And I went back to my office and I was perusing through. I just wanted to read. So, Pastor Matt, I apologize. I stepped out during worship. But I just had to read. And a scripture hit me. I don't know if you remember, but Joseph, the whole reason they got in slavery in Egypt and the delivery of Moses and all that we're going to walk through. But a new king came into power who didn't know Joseph, and immediately the Holy Spirit said, because he didn't know the Savior. And that's why I had to go. I'm like, Lord, and I see what's happening today because people don't know the Savior. There's new positions rising up and they don't know, because Joseph means Savior. That's where the name Jesus comes from, God who saves. And I'm just like, Lord, help our church to really get it that you are calling us out of something, delivering us, but you're taking us somewhere. Exodus is not just about leaving, it's about going. And so, church, I'm excited about that series, and as I'm working on it in my heart, and we'll be starting that the first Sunday of January. And it's probably going to go through February, March, April, and May. Because I'll be able to just capture chapters at a time and maybe even to group chapters. But I feel like you need to hear this. Because I think God's got something for his church. And it's for this church. We're not going to miss out on it. He will establish his kingdom. Another thing Israel is looking for is someone that would overthrow this Roman government. In fact, Isaiah, once again, at the very end of his writings in chapter 49, he writes these words.
This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out. And to those in darkness, be free.
Boy, what an exciting man. We got a Messiah. He's going to say, be free. You're not in captivity any longer. I want you to hear what Jesus, when he opened the scrolls of Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, I want you to hear Jesus' words when he said this.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free.
See, they were looking for the physical, not the spiritual. And Jesus stands up and he begins to quote Isaiah and stating that he has sent me. He was the fulfillment. There's so many other prophecies that are recorded. I just want you to know Jesus is the Messiah this morning. He's come to fulfill Scripture, and there is Scripture yet to be fulfilled. But Israel struggled with this question of how could a little baby born in a stable by a peasant woman provide what we need? The problem is most people looking for the Messiah were looking for what they wanted, not what he wanted to give. See, when Jesus was born, he was completely misunderstood. His mission was misunderstood. And people failed to comprehend the truth that Christ himself declared something in John 18:36. Listen to this.
Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place."
Even Jesus himself says, "My kingdom is not of this world. There's something I need to do and accomplish before the fulfillment of all Scripture will happen." And his own people ended up rejecting him. He was not what they thought they wanted. And they failed to see the treasure that came in the newborn babe. Let me take a moment, though, and review what I believe Jesus' first coming was about. I believe he came to restore life to those who were lifeless. Listen to Ephesians 2, verses 1, 4, and 5. It says this.
"As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved."
Wow. You were dead. You want me to really make you feel bad? You were dead. You thought you had life. It was a deception. But he came that you might have life and have it to the full. We were dead in our sins and our transgressions, but because of his great love, he made us alive with Christ. That's why he came. John 11, verses 25 and 26. This is what happened when Jesus comes to, he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he's talking with Martha, and hear what he tells Martha.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
The question, do you believe this? The struggle was, everybody's looking for the physical. Everybody's saying, well, Lazarus has physically died. We just wanted you to come. And before he even raises, he says, "Listen, I am resurrection and life. And whoever believes in me, even though he dies, he lives." Church, if we could only capture, do you believe this? Because it's about a spiritual kingdom. John 10:10 tells us something that's important for us to know.
"The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
I wonder sometimes if we've let Christmas come to steal, kill, and destroy us. I love Christmas. I love the season. But church, it's not about the presents. It's not about the trees. Do all of that, but please don't miss Christ. It is about him. If we get so wrapped up on a Christmas morning that Christ is not part of it, then you have missed it. Christ is always a part. My kids, I don't know what they're going to end up doing in their homes and their traditions, and they can make their own traditions, but one of the things we do, and very first, they don't even get to come down the steps to even go to the tree. They have to all wait upstairs. That's my wife's part of it. No, we're in agreement. But then we come down, and our very first thing we do is we have a little thing called follow the star, but it's because we've got to find Jesus. If we miss him that morning, we have missed what it's all about. The first coming, the baby king. Otherwise, we miss the life that he has to give and give it to the full. To the full. Jesus also came to overthrow sin and Satan. Aren't you glad? In fact, listen to Hebrews 2:14.
Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil.
See, there was a season. How many of you are flesh and blood? Many of you need some teaching. Here it is. You're flesh and blood. So he became like us, so that he could save us. He became humanity. Why? So he could break the power of him who held the power of death. Because there was no spiritual connection until Jesus came and he died. And then what did he do 3 days later? Rose again. He defeated death and became the first fruits that if all who would believe in him would now become part of that. Resurrection. Life. See? So he defeated death. He defeated the devil. 1 John 3:8 tells us this.
The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work.
The reason the baby king came was to do a spiritual kingdom work first, to destroy this sin thing that has held us separated from God. But God has forgiven you. He does not hold those sins. When we say, God, forgive us, he erases those sins and casts them as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered against you no more. He came to offer and establish peace with God is what we needed. Romans 5:1 tells us this.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
We've been justified through faith. You are at peace. What a Christmas it's going to be. We're at peace. Ephesians 2:13-14 tells us this.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility.
The struggle in this scripture was that the Jews thought, hey, this is for us, and the Gentiles are over here. But listen, he is our peace. He has destroyed the barrier between the two. There was a dividing wall, and he tore it down, and he is our peace. We've been brought near by the blood of Jesus today. He's offered salvation to anyone who would believe. Romans 10:9-10 tells us this.
If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved.
And all of a sudden, the spiritual kingdom comes alive because of faith. Hebrews 7:25 says this to us.
Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God
Hallelujah.
Through him, because he always lives to intercede for them.
God doesn't save partially. He saves completely. And he lives to intercede for you today. He's interceding. Before the Father today, he's going to mention your name. He's interceding. Why? Because you're completely saved. But I want you to hear a call that comes from the very end of our Bible. In Revelation 22, verse 17.
The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life.
There is a call that this first baby king asked. He looked to his disciples and said, come, follow me. Today, the Spirit and the bride being the church, is still sending out the message, come. If you're thirsty, come. Anyone who wants the free gift can receive it. It's free. Christmas, you're going to get some free gifts. There's no attachments. They're free. They'll be yours to use and enjoy. Jesus is giving life free. Eternal life for you to enjoy if we would only receive it. I don't know what you understand about the baby king. I don't know what you celebrate each Christmas. I pray he is your Savior. I pray he is the king of your heart, your life. You see, his first coming was about you, to redeem you, to save you, if you would just put your faith in him. I don't know what you're looking for today. Are you looking for significance, acceptance? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for a meaningful life, love, victory? It's all in Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is everything you could ever hope for, everything you could ever expect, and more, if you just yield to him as your king. You see, one day there will be no more struggles. One day there will be no more heartache, no more pain, no more sorrow. Why? Because there's a second coming. And there will be a kingdom that will be established. It won't be just a baby in a manger. It will be our soon coming king. He came first to establish a spiritual kingdom so there'd be reconciliation, so there could be people in the kingdom. You. And church, we ought to be thankful and joyful this season that Christ did die for us and he paid a debt that we could not pay. I want you to listen to a scripture as we get ready to close this morning of how we're to live. Because church, the video series, all these things we're doing, because there's not just him coming, but we're celebrating till he comes again. And we're remembering him until he comes again. How do I live? And why do I live this way? I want you to listen to Colossians chapter 2. And they're going to help me read this again because I want you to listen intently. Do not let these words just pass by, but read them along with them and listen to this. Beginning in verse 6, because this is how we should live because we're part of a spiritual kingdom.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form.
And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ.
Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins.
Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Hallelujah. He is disarmed. But what am I supposed to do? So many times we read passages and we get caught up in the second half, but let me back up and read verse 6 and 7 again. Pastor Matt, would you read those?
So then, just as he received Christ Jesus as Lord.
Let me pause. What?
Receive Christ Jesus.
As?
Lord.
See? King. Master. Lordship. Here. Baby King. Right here. What do we do, Pastor Matt?
Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Wow. Church, that's why we got to get rooted. That's why I come back with a simple message this morning. Let's just root ourselves in Christmas so it's rooted in Christ. And then be built up in him. And then strengthen in the faith that we're taught. Let's just keep being strengthened. I don't know about you, but I know this week I've been laying down and I got to do some strengthening again to get my body back going. I'm going to have to do that. It just doesn't happen. I have to strengthen myself again. And we're going to have to do that spiritually again and again. And that last part, overflowing with thankfulness. It'll be amazing. I wonder how many times this will have to be said this Christmas. Tell them you're thankful. tell them thank you. They start opening gifts and some of our kids, we've taught them so well it's mechanical. Oh, thank you. And let it be genuine, overflowing with thanksgiving, with thankfulness. You see, only those who've accepted this salvation will really get to spend eternity with him. Church, we need to be diligent in our own witness because there are those who have never, ever heard or ever accepted Christ as their King. The Lord is coming soon. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is Jesus, God our Savior. He is Emmanuel. I want you to listen to a little poem. It has maybe a little funniness to it, but not really. It's taken after the "Twas the Night Before Christmas." This is entitled "Twas the Day After Christmas." I want you to listen to it.
"Twas the day after Christmas, and all through the town, the ones who weren't Christians were feeling let down. The stockings weren't hung by the chimney anymore, and boxes and wrappings covered the floor.
The kitchen was covered from floor to ceiling with enough dirty dishes to set mother reeling. The children were whining over what they didn't get, and rather than sharing, they were throwing a fit.
The malls were bustling with post-Christmas shoppers, searching for bargains on racks and in hoppers. The salesmen looked haggard, the shoppers looked worse, as credit cards flew out of wallet and purse.
There were no joyful sounds of carolers singing, and the only bells heard were registers ringing. The scene was altogether too grim for all the people who didn't know him.
If only this unhappy crowd could know that the spirit of Christmas isn't tied with a bow and stacked in piles underneath the tree, he can live forever in you and in me. He didn't start in presents piled up in a sleigh. He started with Christ being born in the hay. The perfect gift from our Father above, sent to us sinners to show us with his love.
He came without wrapping or boxes or strings, no glitter or glamour or other vain things. He came with a promise of hope for all men, that even in death we'd have life again.
The next face you encounter covered with strife, introduce them to Jesus and change their whole life. Teach them that Christmas is a daily thing that comes from intimately knowing the King."
I don't know what's going to happen the day after Christmas, but as I read this, I'm like, there's a lot of people going to be let down. In fact, when they cut off the festive lights, it seems to shut off the whole season. But he's come to be the light of the world. And he said, "Now you're the light. I don't just have to cut on lights to get happy. I am the light." Let me take you back to one of the opening scriptures we used in Luke chapter 1, verse 31. It says this, the angel standing there before Mary, and of course we're already told that she was afraid. He already told her, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. It'll be for all the people. But I want you to hear what he tells her. He says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Church, please don't misunderstand, not trying to be weird in any way this morning, but this scripture is for you. Because you need to conceive in your spirit a new birth of a baby king. You need to accept that same message. And like Mary say, let it be unto me according to your word. And you are to call him Jesus, God, my Savior. You are to call him Jesus. You. See, so many times, well, Mary, that was her job. No. He came as a baby king of a spiritual kingdom. That when he first breathed into Adam, the breath of life that would be given through every child, a living soul, he came to redeem that breath of life, that it could live with him forever. Every soul, if they would call him God, my Savior. There's a king, little baby. We celebrate him because we want to remember that he came. I want to remember he died. I want to remember he rose again. I want to remember he's coming again. Church, he will set up a physical kingdom. It kind of amazes me. I don't know your eschatology or if you know it very well, but he's going to come back here after the church is raptured. He's going to come back and set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Right here on the earth. And those who are caught up will come back and rule and reign with him. I don't know how all that's going to work, but he's going to set it up right here. And everybody who's been clamoring, oh, if I could only see God, I would believe. Well, for 1,000 years, he's going to rule and reign here. For everybody who said, well, if we could only have peace in our world, the Bible tells us he will rule and reign, and peace will be established for 1,000 years. America's been fairly peaceful, except for Revolutionary War and World War I and World War II and other conflicts we've engaged in. Not a lot of peace, huh? And we can't even do that within a few hundred years. 1,000 years. But let me share with you how wicked your heart is. After that 1,000 years, it says that the enemy is loosed once again. That's Satan. Satan is loosed and he goes to the world. And once again, it says he deceives the nations. You know what they do? They rise up and they come against the king. The final battle happens. It's really kind of in scripture. It's just a, that's it. Gog and Magog, and they're all done away with. And then the great white throne judgment. Church, our hearts are wicked. That's why understanding that the first coming, the first advent, the first baby king is about a spiritual change. Because if I don't have that spiritual heart, I won't understand a physical kingdom. I need to understand a spiritual kingdom and give my life to the baby king. Because that's what he came for the first time. Next time he comes, he is coming to rule. No question. The question this time, though, is will you let him rule spiritually your life? That's what Christmas is about. Will you call him Jesus? Would you bow your head for just a moment? Here we are, kind of the Christmas Sunday before Christmas. What a great day to receive the greatest gift ever. Balcony, main floor. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus, or maybe you've fallen away. What a day to say, I want that gift again. It's free. It's yours. The baby king, king of your heart. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up and you put it right back down? But I just want to pray with you this morning. Is there anyone in the balcony, main floor? I just want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Just want to pray with you. Yes. Yes. Is there anyone else? Yes, sir. I see the hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Is there anyone else? Listen. Yes. This is about the most important baby king moment you'll ever have. It's making him your spiritual king of your life. I must have everyone pray with me. For those who lifted your hand, just pray boldly and proudly, because this is the most important thing you'll ever do. Maybe this is the time, though, from this day forward, it will change the course of your life, because you're establishing a new kingdom in your heart, one with a great and mighty king. Heavenly Father, everybody together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For sending Jesus.
For sending Jesus.
I receive.
I receive.
By faith.
By faith.
Through your grace.
Through your grace.
Jesus.
Jesus.
As the Savior.
As the Savior.
Of my soul.
Of my soul.
I ask you.
I ask you.
To forgive me.
To forgive
of me. Of everything I've done wrong.
Of everything I've done wrong.
I receive.
I receive
your love.
Your love.
I will live for you.
I will live for you.
For the rest of my days.
For the rest of my days.
You are Lord.
You are Lord.
You are King.
You are King.
Amen.
Amen.
See, he's King. Baby King.